all this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
I'm Pete, and I'm with Kelly and Johnny. Johnny, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Kelly, what's going on, my friend?
Still a little under the weather, as you can tell by my voice, but I'll shake this fucking cold one of these days.
Awesome, awesome, man. We'll be looking at October 8th, 1983, on the WCW portion of the network, WWE Network, where they're building up to Thanksgiving Day Star Wars show. And we've seen some of the stuff they're building to. They're teasing and setting up. And, it opens up here with Buddy Roberts versus Johnny Mantell. Kelly, talk about this match, man.
Of course it opens up with Johnny Mantell. Super Push 83. Can it continue?
Oh, okay. So you're Super Push 83. You've been using that phrase. He's opened up. He's open. He's curtain jerked the show twice, right?
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't lost in a while.
And he got his ass handed to him in the big angle, right?
Yeah, he was last week. Yeah. Pretty poor cavalry charge by Mantell last week. Yeah.
Mid-card push, brother.
What do you want to bet he wasn't even supposed to run in there? He made that call on his own. He's like, I'm John goddamn Mantell. My brother is the goddamn booker. I'm getting some of this hot action. And Terry Gordy just knocked him out for real. Get the fuck out of here.
Since he's a professional, I doubt it.
We can only, you know, imagine that may have happened.
He's not Matt Hardy shooting his own angles here, okay?
John Mantell's got a big head. And it all started, this push, was with a win against Buddy Roberts, remember?
Yes,
a big upset. So I thought, okay, this is Buddy getting his win back, you know, and the end of the super push is here. So Buddy, he's wearing this wig now, it's Stevie Wonder hair.
But
looks
blonde.
With the wig on, blonde, of course, yeah. And he looks 10 years younger with the wig on somehow. I don't know, did we miss something?
Yes.
We obviously did miss where the helmet got banned, I take it.
Well, no. Bill mentions it briefly. It must have been on the Fort Worth TV. But Bruiser Brody ripped the whole goddamn headgear and wig off his head, revealing a completely shaved head. And
we got that months ago.
But no, this was the way he described it was that no, he took the entire thing off and Buddy Roberts was running around with a bald head. You know, it sounded like it happened a while back. I mean, recently. But who knows? It's Bill Mercer.
We did miss, there was an episode, I believe, the beginning of September that isn't on the network. I'm thinking it was maybe on that one. Because the Sportatorium crowd doesn't react to him taking the wig off like it's any big deal. You know, so they've obviously seen him bald before.
Okay, so that could be it.
But anyway, I'm just guessing here. Because, yeah, we missed it, obviously. So, yeah, now he's bald. And it's funny, it's been 4 months later. His hair hasn't grown back an inch yet.
No, that's just it. They're like, okay, we're going to stop with the headgear gimmick. We're going to actually go with, you're going to be bald. Yeah, and so he had to shave it that day. That was freshly shaved.
Yeah, but have they tried to make it, like, make any sense of it by saying that the cream actually makes you or prevents you from ever growing hair again?
No, he's not Lex Luthor.
Because it doesn't make sense why he'd continue to keep the bald look if he was so upset with being bald, right?
Well, no, because to that audience, no, see, that wouldn't make sense. Like, it made it go away forever. No, they're just counting on the people being so stupid to think, it's like, no, he's He's been bald all this time. That's just it. You know, I don't think they gave that much thought to it. That was like, yeah, these rubes will believe anything.
But yeah, it's been 4 months. It was the June. It was the international Star Wars card in June, and yeah, we're in October now. And his hair hasn't grown back an inch.
Nope.
So whatever. Sorry to pop a bubble in kayfabe or whatever, the illusion. But I just had to. So this was an okay little match. Mantell worked a long headlock spot on Buddy, and it was entertaining because Buddy's so good, such a great worker. He made it fun, struggling and all that. And then, of course, the time calls are in the background. You know what's coming. We've seen this so many times. But at least it preserves Super Push 83. Mantell doesn't do a job. Mantell's making a comeback in the last couple minutes. And has actually Buddy basically pinned. He gives him an abdominal stretch and then rolls him up as the bell rings. So, yeah, can't get this man's shoulders on the mat. John Mantell, he's the man. He's got the push. Let's see. Let's keep him going. Let's see what's going to happen.
Ugh. I had to push him off.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match. Both guys are a pair of pros. It's a real nice meat and potato match. And this is, you know, a world-class trope. We get the draw. I like Mantell controlling with the headlock. Even when he was, like, underneath and Roberts had position on him, I'm like, I was holding on to the headlock. Some fun stuff there. Roberts takes out the leg, and that sets up the heat section. I loved Mantell's hanging clothesline on Buddy.
Yeah, that was a well-worked match.
You know, you gotta go. It screamed time limit draw to me at like 2 minutes in because we know they do this so often. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, this is a staple of territory wrestling. It's like you're gonna get these like 10 minute time limit draws. Houston did all the time, so they usually did it with 15 time limit draws. It's they tease you with a couple guys, and sometimes and it would lead to a long, bigger, better, longer matches. Hopefully. I think Buddy and Johnny working together for 10 minutes. It's a really good, great match to bring around the territory with. I gave it 2.5 stars. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a perfectly workable match. Did it have any bells and whistles on it? No, but it was something I think you need. When we reviewed all these, if you started watching these shows in the '80s, it wasn't super shows. They weren't loaded with how they do it now, where every match has an angle. A lot of them, they were built around two or three main events, and a lot of stuff was filler. And this would be a filler card, but it happened to be a filler card with two guys who knew how to work, and they go and have a competitive match. I enjoyed it. Johnny, what about you?
Well, for Roberts versus Mantell 2, you know, I first wrote down ugh, because I'm like, oh, what's this going to be? And I immediately went, it's going to be a draw. I feel it in my bones, the draw. And then Lorenz said, with a 15-minute time limit. I'm like, oh, for Christ's sakes. He goes, I'm sorry, 10-minute time limit. I'm like, oh, that's okay. I do. Buddy Roberts is one of my favorite guys. That's fine. You know, Mantell is technically sound, fine. Like you said, I just don't give a fuck about him. The dog has a different opinion.
Huh? Neither does your dog.
Yeah, she's like, I agree. He stinks. So, yeah, Buddy, I noticed that, too. I was like, oh, the headgear's gone. That's neat. And then he takes it off, and I'm like, holy shit. And I thought the same thoughts as you, Kelly. I was like, he just shaved that today. That's great. And he looks so much older with it off, like you said. It's like, wow, he looks old with no hair. Like, really old.
Because he is old.
I know. But even when he's got his hair up all, you know, Pat Patterson'd up, his real hair, it gives him some youth and vitality, but of bald, course. You go, wow, that guy's been around the block. And Bill, I don't even remember what this was in reference to, but he says, something happens, and he says, well, that's the scout sitting on the teepee pole right there. That doesn't even resemble any reference I've ever heard of. Although he gets a line that I got a giggle out of. Because during that headlock sequence, you got Buddy's bald head is poking out of Mantell's armpit. And he goes, oh, it looks like there's a cantaloupe growing under the arm of John Mantell. Like, that, not bad. That's pretty good. And then he follows that up with, they're billy goating all over the ring. And then he goes, billy goating, very pleased with himself. I'm like, you shouldn't be. That didn't even make any sense. And it's a fucking draw. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. You know, I knew it. But then Buddy saves it by, because he made a big deal about not taking off the fucking wig to wrestle. So then he's bald and he gets done and he grabs his white man Stevie Wonder wig and proudly puts it back on and walks back to the locker room. I'm like, Buddy Roberts is a national treasure. So, yeah, I enjoyed this. Even though it had John Mantell and it was a draw, I liked it because Buddy Roberts is one of my favorite wrestlers.
That's fair enough. And that leads us into Iceman Parsons versus Bill Rathke. And before I...
Cowboy Bill Rathke.
Oh, this is like a total fucking mess. They were like on two different pages. Rathke was so hard to move. You could see Parsons struggling with him. This was like just terrible. This is like as bad as some of like the Big Bear Collie matches versus Eddie Gilbert and Crockett. It was terrible.
Pete, there was it was of two pages. One page there's a headline that says "Great Wrestler," and underneath it says "Iceman King Parsons." On the other page, "Shitty Tub of Shit Wrestlers," Bill Rathke. It's definitely two. Oh my God.
Terrible.
Oh boy.
What you make of this there, Kelly?
Yeah, I had the same note that this was a mess. You don't see these matches that often where there's clear problems with cooperation and just Anyway, Iceman hasn't been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know why?
Or it seems like it. I don't know. If he was working somewhere else, he remained every face. So this was weird. It looked like the Rathke kept throwing him to the ropes, but Iceman kept going through the ropes instead of bouncing off. Like, was this because he was pissed off at Rathke? And then Rathke does the same to the Iceman when Iceman whips him into the ropes, and Iceman's clearly ready for him to bounce off and come back at him, and Rathke takes a dive to the outside.
I thought Rathke just is a tub of shit and just fell out of the ring because he's clumsy and ruined the finish, but maybe it was that. No, I don't know.
I think he was doing it because Iceman did it to him. That's what I think.
I missed that. I thought his fat ass fell out of the goddamn ring. Because I was like, clearly they're about to do the butt. And he was like, nope, not doing it.
Then he comes back in and then gets it in the butt, and it's over. But no, this was a total mess.
Yep. And then they tease us.
Well, hold on 1 second.
Johnny has some thoughts.
One other thing. Rathke's slaps... His chops, but their slaps are these overhand, limp-wristed slaps. He looks like Joe Besser, you know, in one of the late Stooges. You know, he's like, "Don't hit me, you big crazy." He's so bad. Bill even makes fun of him. He goes, "Bill Rathke, Cowboy Bill Rathke. He's home on the range. Looks like he ate most of it." Yeah. And I was like, "Bill, every now and then, buddy, Bill gets in a good one." Oof.
Yeah, it was a absolute freaking mess. And then they start kind of giving us a little tease here. They're talking about this video of Sunshine showing her how she works hard for her money.
Yep,
Donna and Summer. Obviously this is where they were going to start building her up as a baby face. But obviously, I think the music was all, "You work hard for your money," and they couldn't edit and show it on the network. That would be my guess.
Okay, and here's my we've seen other music videos though
that
have had the dubs. This is the first time they just went, fuck it, it's Sunshine. To Kelly's dismay. If Kelly wasn't ready to quit this fucking project last time, he is now. You're like, all right, pants are down, Jergens is here, Sunshine Video, nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got so excited about this, you know, it's Sunshine, of course, but the video, I went so far as to come up with, like, the note, Sunshine Tribute with 3 exclamation marks,
ooh.
And then it was cut out, and likely, like Johnny said, they couldn't be bothered to find some music to dub over.
It's just Sunshine. It's not like
it's just Sunshine. Who cares?
It's like it's not like that's Kerry Von Erich, you know,
on a horse,
yeah. Dude.
Exactly. So that's insulting that they couldn't even come up with some crappy dub music for a video.
It's a sexist industry, my friend.
It is. It is. So this dubbing is it's starting to piss me off a bit more. More and more each time.
You wish now you wish they had done a dub. Like, I would have been happy with a dub. You could have dubbed anything. My pants were around my ankles. I was about to watch a Sunshine tribute video.
Yeah, dubbing, or, you know, just the inconvenience of having to skirt around the pop music is it's frustrating now. Anyway.
Let's go on. Tag match of Chris Adams and David Von Erich versus the Mongol and the returning Boris Zukov.
Zukov.
Zukov in Dallas.
Kelly, what do you think of this one?
I really like this match. I was surprised, but I shouldn't have been because Chris Adams is in it and he usually brings it and he's had some pretty good tag matches in the past and then you know, he's awesome. So I totally forgot that Zukov was in the territory. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, and, I felt like he was in there for that 1 or 2 spits and then disappeared.
Yeah, they used him for a couple shows right away, and then but he's technically in Devastation Incorporated.
Yeah, technically.
The real, like we called it, the B team, NWO B team, Devastation Incorporated. That's funny. Mongol, Mr. Ebony, and Boris Zukov.
Boy.
Kamala. Kamala is the by far the biggest star.
Kamala just looks
best talent.
Kamala may be a savage from Africa, but he looks around that Devastation Incorporated locker room and goes, oh, I shouldn't have left Africa. What the fuck?
Well, yeah, and notice how Kamala's not around. He's like Hogan in the NWO. He doesn't want to associate with anything that drag him down, hurt the brand.
Hurt the band, brother.
Yeah, you're very careful with his image.
Can't hurt that. Gotta sell the merch, baby, brother. Even as a heel.
Sugar Bear Harris is like, I don't want to be seen with the fucking Mongol. Go fuck yourself.
That was powerful, powerful claw. So yeah, he's got blood on his forehead right from the beginning. That was hilarious.
My new gimmick. I'm gonna get
this
color.
New gimmick. I'm the guy who bleeds for no reason now. This is also a continuation of the Adams versus Mongol War.
Oh god!
It still has a little bit of juice left in it. Although Mercer didn't bring that up at all, so it's just a coincidence that they were in the same match here. I liked where Zukov tagged in the Mongol, and David's waiting for him in the ring, and holds up the claw, and the Mongol's a little, you know, unsure, doesn't want to get into the ring. I thought that was a nice little moment, nice way to use the claws now as like a total kill hold, and Mongol's afraid of it. The crowd picks up on this. They do a big "We want the claw" chant.
Yeah.
And now we get to Bill Mercer's piece de resistance, his greatest call ever.
Ever.
The 1980s unironic moment of the week. Here is the call. The Mongol just wants to beat off David Von Erich.
Well, that's what it's all about. You know, they're fighting. All the Mongol wants, you know, look, amongst his people in the Mongolian tribes, it's a sign of respect for another great warrior to give him a handy. It's all he wants to do. You know, they give me
your claw, I'll give you my claw.
That's how they go from youngin' to warrior.
Right. That's when we get the stupid haircut. It's just our way, David. I just want to beat you off. It's a sign of respect.
Yeah, totally. total respect. Yeah, this was a pretty good match, actually. Great heat, decent work from the heels, actually. There was some good moments here. They got good heat on David. Really good cutoffs for the potential hot tag. And the roof came off when Adams finally got in. And then we just have a total schmoz finish, all four guys in. Akbar gets involved. He's rarely ever got involved in the past. So this is different. And actually, David gets a claw on Akbar to a huge pop. I was pretty high on this one. I went 2 3/4 stars. I really liked it. Good tag match.
Yeah, I went with the same exact one. I went with you, too, on that. I enjoyed that. The faces did a good job of focusing on the arm. There was a lot of... I thought everything was well done. I mean, everything was executed well. Everything... No, they didn't have a whole lot of glitz and glamour to it, but it was, you know, we had a basic shine. We got a fun basic heat segment. But they made it interesting. I thought Zukov had a lot of energy. I think he's fresh into the gimmick. And I think he had added a lot of energy into the match. The world class really hasn't had a Russian person to boo. I can't remember. So he's kind of a fresh character, right? The Russian, evil Russian, as a fresh character, but it's fresh for the character, for the territory. And I think it helps with the heat. I enjoyed everything about loved it. And I loved the, I thought it was a really fun finish. And I loved how they set up the great promo with Akbar afterwards and stuff. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the match, John?
I think this is the first time Pete's ever had to admit that he's excited that Boris Zukov showed up.
God damn. Yeah, I know.
That's fantastic. Well, here's the thing. Zukov, or Zerkov, Jerkov, whatever they call him here.
Beat off.
Even back then here, I mean, he was always a serviceable guy, you know, he was fine. And we've already seen that the Mongol is decent in tags. So that, you know, there you go. You know, keep these guys in tags and they're tolerable. And you got, you know, David and Chris in there. It was a great fucking match. I really enjoyed it, even though it had the fucking Mongol in it. It had actually an international flair, as Bill Mercer pointed out, with one of my favorite calls that really just cracks me up, is when he says, it's a very international flair in there. We have an Englishman, an American, a Mongol, and a Russian. A Mongol. It's not a thing. A Mongol. You might even say, go back to Conan days, there's a Cimmerian in there. What are you doing? And he's really hitting home. And I believe this is part of getting over that claw the way they want to. But he's really hammering it home about how David Von Erich is the next Fritz. You're seeing a young athletic... He says this call. You're seeing a young athletic, dashing young man slowly transforming into Fritz Von Erich. I was like, oh, that's... That's a terrible thing to say. You're looking back and I'm like, oh, that call isn't good.
But he's the brother who got the Fritz height, you know?
Oh, yeah, he got the height, exactly. He got the height,
facials.
He looked like Fritz, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he and looked voice, just too, like him.
Yeah.
The voice, he could talk. I mean, it's not, you know, it's the way he said it. I mean, it was totally the truth. But it was the way he said it was classic Bill Mercer going, ugh. But the whole point of that is the claw, because we're getting this. It's going to be the battle of the spike against the claw, which is dope. And he's even a prognosticator, or maybe Vince was listening and said, I'm going to steal that someday. But he calls Chris Adams the bulldog from Britain. I was like, you're that close, Bill. That close. He's the bulldog from Britain. Just that close. Vince is going to take that and figure that out in just about a year. And, the claw is on Akbar, which was great with this Bill Mercer call. It's the young Fritz Von Erich claw type. What? He said it with enough enthusiasm that, you know, okay, fine, because I'm like, hey, Akbar's got the claw on him, man. That doesn't happen often. You know, so yeah, this was fun.
You know, and I'll bring up this talking point I find very interesting. I remember when the Death Valley Driver set first came out, some of the talking points was that is that Michael Hayes was a much better worker than he was given credit for. The other thing coming out of it was David Von Erich was the worst of the three brothers.
I don't buy that.
And, you know, I don't buy that either, because maybe in-ring he might have been worse than Kerry and David, I mean, and Kevin when it came to having matches. But David was the brother who could talk. He could be heel or babyface, because a lot of people, when the set came out, was dismissing the talking point of people really thinking David was one of the guys they thought of as a world champion, as an NWA world champion. But yeah, Kevin and Kerry couldn't do what David did, is go into a territory, be a heel, could talk. So, I mean, that's the thing a lot of times us hardcore wrestling fans sometimes forget, is there's more to wrestling than just being good in between the ropes.
Oh, that's exactly it. And we've mentioned this before, but, you know, the NWA didn't just look at the guy. I mean, maybe at one point, you know, I mean, I'm sure Jack Briscoe, you know, could deliver a decent promo. You know, Dory Funk Jr. really couldn't. It didn't matter then. But this is at a point where, you know, you got to be able to talk him into the goddamn building. You know, and who's going to do that of the brothers? Fritz has influence, so he's going to get his turn. He needs someone who could exactly play all the roles and talk. You know, that's the biggest part. I mean, you're not just, it's not just about the matches. Being the great wrestler is not just about the matches. It's about being a personality in some way or another that connects with people. It's the acting part. It's the whole thing. And David also is not, like, I love Kevin, but apparently, you know, Kevin fucking potatoed the fuck out of everyone. I just like watching it. But that's not your fucking NWA world champion, and Kerry's fucking stoned out of his fucking mind all the time. So, of course it's going to be fucking David, and David's, he's good. If he's in there with good opponents, he's good.
Yeah, I just think sometimes they don't get out of the bubble enough and realize promos, being able to do different characters, being able to do, if you were going to be the world champion, and the way the NWA was presented at the time, which is going into touring and going into different territories. If this was the WWF, I would make Kerry my champion because I thought he had the best look. I thought he had the best matches. He was an exciting guy. But when
you'd have
being the NWA champion, I would feel David is the best suited for that role.
Right, and Kerry would have been like okay, him and Mean Gene are just going to have to do 27 takes on this backstage.
Yeah, Mean Gene would have let him through it. I mean, you know? they did it with the Warrior. So, I mean, Kelly, any thoughts on this debate topic?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, Kerry is the more of the prototypical 80s guy as far as being a roided up dude. Great look, the one that Vince would want first, for sure. So he was actually, you know, as far as the way wrestling was going, he was the future. David was more of a traditionalist and could have been, yeah, the NWA champion, touring champ, but that was dying at the time, and Flair was, you know, never gonna give it up really after a certain point. But David, yeah, he had the total package in a lot of ways. It's, you know, maybe he's just, you know, it was the wrong time for him, of course. I mean, we all know what eventually happens to him, but even if he'd lived, I don't know what his path would have been for the rest of the 80s, if it would have been main eventer.
I think his body clearly would have grown out to be more like Fritz. He would have been. I think his body would have groomed into like a Barry Windham-esque type of body.
Yeah, and he probably would have had a Barry Windham-esque career because he would have gotten in that run with the belt. But at that point, Flair was the man. He would have gotten a short run, no matter what. Maybe longer than his brother got, but not that much longer. It'd be one of the short run. There you go, Fritz. You know, and then, you know, then David would have been around in that kind of Barry Windham-ish role.
He would have, and he probably would have had the same problems Barry had with having knee problems by working an athletic big man style. His legs would have given out from him. And he would have had, he probably would have been wearing gigantic knee braces by the 90s and stuff.
See, I thought you meant Fritz would have started counterfeiting, and I've been like, wow, that would have been something.
That could have been something. I just always found it fascinating about the talking point was, and I think people missed the point when people said David was the best of the three brothers. Again, people meant that Meltzer and Mastic were talking about in ring, I think they were talking about the total package of being able to cut a promo,
yes,
be a heel or face, going into a territory, and coming out of that. I just remember all the talk, because I was, you know, I was on that committee. All the talk coming out of it was, yeah, that myth has been blown to smithereens, that David was the worst of the three brothers, and it might have been for match quality, maybe. And he might not have been as good as advertised, but he was still a better promo than the other two brothers and could definitely play heel or babyface, unlike the other two brothers. Yeah. What do you think the promo with Johnny?
Oh, what do I think about this promo?
Akbar.
Backstage interview, one of the greatest of all time.
It's one of the greatest things of all fucking time. So it's Akbar's with Bill, and he's fucking furious. He's like, I've had it with, you know, the fucking Von Erichs. You fuck with me. And, you know, yeah, you can beat up my fucking, basically, he's like, yeah, you want to beat up my fucking jobbers? Fine. It's time for Kamala. Kamala's coming. He's going to eat your fucking face. And everyone's going to die by the hands of the mighty Kamala. And then suddenly, someone who I think is Bill Rathke, pops out of the shower, taking a shower, and goes, hey guys, am I keeping it down? I'm trying to take a shower here. And they both, and Akbar walks one way, and Bill walks away with this like wacky look on his face, and all this needed was, and I was like, this is the, look, I've been shitting on Bill Rathke a lot over the course of this recording. If you want to introduce this, if this became something that happened every week, there's a backstage promo and it ends with, hey, I'm just trying to take a shower here, Bill Rathke, that'd be the greatest thing ever. I love this so much. That when he popped out of that shower, I thought I was tripping. I can't be seeing what I'm seeing here. What the fuck? And he's great. He's like, hey, you mind keeping it down?
This segment with the shower thing, if it happened in 2017 to 2019, Bill Rathke would have gotten a 6-month run in a WWF segment.
This is
he could have been one of those guys. I'm trying to think of some of these guys that caught fire for a few months on as a gimmick. And
he would have been a very, very less talented dozer, because this is like something that would happen now.
Yes.
Or maybe a few years ago.
This would be Vince in the booking meeting going, I need some humor at the top of the hour, or they close out the segment, or I need a joke for the exclamation.
Well, no, they kind of did this when they brought in Heavy Machinery. Before, the way they introduced them was having them just pop up in the middle of backstage shit where they didn't belong, and Otis being weird. You know, and that introduced them to the audience, and that's how they did it. Why they're doing this with Bill Rathke here, no idea, don't care. If I know Bill Mercer produces a lot of these backstage bits. If this is a Bill Mercer idea, I got an idea. How about we have Bill Rathke in the shower at the end of this, and Fritz goes, I don't give a fuck, do whatever you want. And if that was a Mercer plan, then Bill Mercer is a genius at this stuff. And just a shitty announcer.
It was more of I can see Mercer pitching it, but not to Fritz, the stoned out
Kerry
and Mantell.
Okay, Mantell, yeah.
Stoned out of his gills.
Or no.
And like, that's a great idea.
No, he goes to Kerry, who's stoned, and he goes, I got an idea for Rathke. And Kerry, you know, swinging his Von Erich dick around, goes, hey, man, I think I like that idea. Let's have that happen. Oh, fine.
Yeah, this was just so weird.
I think we covered the shower bit enough, and I think we're giving it too much because
how good
the damn promo was. Now this just immediately kind of put all the ill will behind Devastation Inc., and now it feels like a fresh start, and we get this step one. How does this feel to you, Kelly? Was this like an A+ home run?
Well, I was distracted by Bill Rathke the whole time, because you could see him right from the start of the promo that there was somebody showering. You couldn't tell who it was. I did, because they were that close to the shower, and I was wondering, who is this? And is this going to are they actually going to do something with this? I thought it was just like at first like a mistake that they were just too close to somebody. It was like a wrestler taking a shower. And then Rafiki gets involved, and it was so strange. And Mercer gives like this, are we still filming face? And then it just stops. I don't know. This was totally bizarre. And so Akbar's promo was probably awesome. But I was completely transfixed by
Bill Rathke in the shower. So your pants.
I can understand that. But I thought
there's no sunshine. So Rathke in the shower is the
Yeah, there was no. You know, he already has pants down, waiting for that sunshine video. And well, I guess yeah. Bill Rathke in the shower is just gonna have to do.
It's gonna have to do it.
I thought the promo was amazing. Anytime you're talking about eating people's faces off. I think that's a home run.
Why did they have the shower thing? Like that, there was no need for it. I don't understand.
Because it was genius.
Like,
it was genius.
I know, but it ruined the promo because I don't remember anything about the promo. I just remember Bill Rathke taking a shower. Maybe this is the beginning of something. Maybe this is Super Push 83 number two with Bill Rathke. We don't know. That's why we're doing this show, because that's all. We don't know what's going to happen next.
Well, I want to talk about episodic TV right now, okay? Let's get this back on point, boys. They've been really underwhelming. Now, telling us they're bringing Kamala in, that's a big deal. But let's look here. On Thanksgiving of 1983, we'll have Kamala be in a match. We'll have Skandar Akbar will be in a match. The Super Destroyers are in town for a match. And the Missing Link looks like he makes his debut. So they're getting the band. Seems like they're getting the band together here. Also in an opening thing, you have Boris Zukov and Tonga John. But I think they're not. They're not
Tonga John. You're blowing my mind, Pete, with all these spoilers and secret reveals and stuff. Wow.
Well, I just think it's important because now it looks like we're turning the corner where Devastation is going to get interesting.
It can't get any worse.
And, well, they're gonna be the ones because the Freebird feud is kind of coming to an end, and so Devastation Inc. is going to be sliding into that lead role as heels until they get Adams and Gino ready.
Well, doesn't Terry Gordy stick around after Hayes leaves town?
Yeah, but I think they're gone after December.
Oh, okay.
Because they lose, Hayes shows up at Santa Claus or something. I'm sure there's something. We'll get to it later. But I think Devastation Inc. is now we're getting into some versions that are a lot more fun, per se. Then we go into the main event of Kerry Von Erich versus Terry Gordy. What do you think about this, Kelly?
Well, let's see. They're both wearing black trunks.
Yes. Bill was surprised by it. Somebody was like, hey, look at that. They're both in black.
You know, honestly, when I watch territory wrestling, that happens so often. Guys are wearing the same trunks. And I'm like, this would never happen on Vince's watch. But go on.
One of the funniest ones I can remember is a tag, I think. Or no, it was a singles between Bruno and Piper from Boston Garden. They're both wearing blue trunks. And then both run-ins, Orndorff and Orton, are both wearing blue trunks too. So all four guys are wearing blue trunks.
There was a sale on blue trunks backstage.
And it's funny because all those guys, well, not all those guys, but Orton and Orndorff always had multicolored trunks, but they were all blue. And Piper, too, had different colors, too. Mostly blue, but sometimes green and thinking more red.
Yeah, in the other territories you were, yeah.
I guess it became more standardized in WWF.
You think they all got in the ring at the same time and just looked at each other and shit, we all wore blue. It was just complete coincidence.
I was so confused at that point, and I didn't know who was who. This was kind of fun for what it was. It didn't go on too long, but it was a stiff match. Gordy's, he always brings it. Kerry was working pretty good here. There was a super stiff clothesline by Gordy at one point where you could just hear funk, funk. That was great. Both took good bumps to the outside. Yeah, this was fought like you'd you know, it's supposed to be between two guys that have been basically feuding for almost a year. And the crowd is molten hot. Corey starts using the spike. And this brings David in to stop things. Yeah, hot match while it lasted. And I would like to see more between these two for sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was a fun all-action, back and forth, big move match. Both guys bringing everything, throwing bombs on one another. It was just what you needed to do. It wasn't a bloody brawl, but it was a fight. And I give it 3 stars. I enjoyed the hell out of it. The guys just brought the action, and it worked. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. It was fun, short, intense. I liked it. David just fucking runs in and attacks fucking Terry Gordy. Carrie's in the fucking spike, and David just runs in, fuck you asshole, and gives him the fucking claw. He's like, so that's the battle's established right here. But it's some that's some cheating fucking Von Erichs right there. We haven't seen some of that in a while. But I loved the story they were doing, just to get across that that's where they're going right now. For however short this battle of Claw versus Spike lasts, I'm looking forward to it, because they've been presenting it really well. You know, they've been putting over the Claw. It's the Spike. And Von Erich's like, hey, we've got the fucking Claw, right? You know? And yeah. So the battle of the fucking moves, I love shit like that. And it's funny, they put over the whole, yeah, you know, he is more and more like Fritz. He's got a terrible temper that leads him to doing rash decisions. Just runs in the ring in the middle of his brother's match. But it's good stuff. I hope they keep hammering home this, Claw versus Spike deal, because that's good stuff.
Yeah, and I loved Mercer at the end. And we've lambasted Mercer for a lot of his bad stuff. Yes. And we praised him on his stuff, his going out on the town type stuff, man of the town thing. But here, him just summing it all up, it's the Iron Claw versus the Oriental Spike.
Yeah, I actually wrote down, okay, that was okay by Bill. The way I was like, he nailed it. He nailed the landing on that one.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, I mean, obviously what they're doing isn't very subtle, but I don't care. Sometimes you need to explain to the audience, this is what's going on. This is what they're setting up. And sometimes you do need that wordsmith, that narrator, and that's what Bill Mercer is here, and he hits it.
Really? A wordsmith? A wordsmith?
Yeah, I know.
Well, Shakespeare couldn't come up with a better line than he just wants to beat off David Von Erich. Come on. There you go.
Well, man, this is a much improved show from top to bottom. I thought we had excellent wrestling up and down the card. Good angles, good promos, and they took last week's stuff that they used and built on it, and that's what it makes episodic wrestling television the best. And that's why I think really you don't need 2-3 hours. I think you can tell a story in an hour, depending how size your roster is. World class, no way in hell could they do 3 hours of television. They're this 45-minute format is perfect for them. NXT just recently went to 2 hours. Do I really think they need 2 hours of wrestling show? No, I think an hour and a half would be the sweet spot for NXT on what they do. 3 hours is way too long for Raw. So when you're trying to do episodic television, I think time-wise is one of the most important things, and World Class is right now on the sweet spot of their storytelling. What do you think, John, of the show, man?
It was good. It was fun.
Kelly?
Yeah, this was actually one of my favorite episodes so far in the run. I just had a blast. Even though they cut out music video, that would have made it the all-time greatest episode. No doubt about that. But this was, this was super fun.
Awesome.
No raspy rules. Just Bill Rathke in the shower, man. Watch that.
Hashtag
rub a dub tub. Bill Rathke in a tub.
In the shower.
Now, what about you, John? What do you any plug?
Hashtag Bill Rathke shower is what goes along with this show. And I got nothing. That's it. Just hashtag Bill Rathke in the shower.
Follow me on Twitter at TitansOWrestling. See you later on, guys. And man, that Bill Rathke scene. My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you. Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.